Hey, welcome to another week of my author series podcast. I am very excited to have Laura Sinclair on the podcast today. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you so much for having me.
I've told you this so many times that I was so excited to record with you because I feel like you and I have been on a very similar journey in regards to our motherhood experience.
Yeah.
And I just have connected with you. Every time something comes out of your mouth, I'm like, yeah, yeah, me too.
Thank
so
you.
So excited you're here. Do you want to share who are you?
Yeah.
Where are you from? Like, what do you do? Give me some goods about you.
Yeah, I'll give you the goods. So I mean, how far back do you want to go?
As deep as you want.
So I'm a mom of two. My kids are 6 and 3. I am a serial entrepreneur. So I work for myself, which is a really unique part of my motherhood journey. I have vivid memories of working a corporate job and thinking, man, I can't wait to go on mat leave. And then I started working for myself and I never got a mat leave. So right now, today, I own a social media marketing agency. I have my own podcast. It's called This Mother Means Business. And I'm a business mentor. So I mentor early stage female entrepreneurs, typically moms, because let's be honest, you don't know what it's like to be a mom and run a business until you are a mom running a business. So that's me. I currently have a broken leg. So everything that I say today is going to be through the lens of the experience having a broken leg. But I am based out of Barrie, Ontario, Canada. And yeah, I've got a long history of entrepreneurship and became a mom in 2017. And then I also have a COVID baby.
And you're inspiring as fuck, my friend.
Oh, thank you.
Broken leg or not. And actually, it's funny. We were just talking like off the podcast, and you know, your husband's not going to listen to this. So it's okay if
no,
we tease
he's
him
not.
A little bit. But like, her husband has really had to, like, not, I don't want to say pick up the slack, but we're just going to say that for the conversation. But like, because Laura has a broken leg, so she can't just like get up and do all the things like she usually does. And there was such like a very large part of me actually that was like, fuck yeah. Because it's so important sometimes. Like, I know like my own husband has actually verbalized to me that he did not know how much I did until I was not there to do those things. Even the small little things, like you were saying, the dollar store, the this, the that, the mental load that is placed on us, physical load, all of it. I'm kind of happy that he has to do this. I'm not happy you have a broken leg, but it is such an eye-opening experience for them, I feel like.
Yeah, I'm not happy I have a broken leg either. I think, you know, I've been kind of saying that the universe has been telling me to slow down for a really long time. And it was finally like, okay, you're not going to like hold my beer. We're going to break your leg and you're going to be bedridden for 8 weeks. But no, it has been interesting for my husband. I think, you know, we talk about a lot and I'm sure you talk about this on the podcast, but the invisible load of motherhood, right? It's the things that we just do automatically that we probably should ask for more help, but don't. You know, it was recently St. Patrick's Day and my husband had to go to the dollar store and buy, you know, all the leprechaun-y things that my kids have come to expect on St. Patrick's Day. Well, has my husband ever done that? No. Thankfully, I've already purchased all of the Easter chocolate, so he doesn't have to do that. But like, it's just, there are so many elements of the things that we do on a daily basis that my partner hasn't had to do. And now he does. And so it's going to be an interesting shift. And not that I think that one person should have to carry all of this load. So if you are, you know, a single mom and you're doing this all by yourself, anyway, you're an absolute unicorn and my complete hero. But it has been an interesting, we're early into this broken leg, but it has been interesting watching him, you know, feel really overwhelmed by the load of it all. And so it'll be, watch this space, it'll be an interesting couple of months. But yeah, I think having a broken leg is going to give me a lot of time to reflect and develop some further perspective on the things that maybe I've taken for granted, but also give me an opportunity to create something new. I'm sure there'll be something.
That's what I was thinking about too. Like, when, like, as much as it, there's so many awful things about it, right? But the reality is that it's happened. The leg is broken. We cannot magically just fix the leg. So embrace what it's given you. And it's given you this time for whatever the reason may be. Like, you know, like bout a stomach flu or something next time, universe would be great. Like maybe
Right, like
not
maybe
a
something that's
broken leg.
not going to potentially affect me forever or keep me in
Right.
bed for 8 months or for 8 weeks. But yeah, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I fell off a horse into the middle of a road, and it could have been far worse than it is. So I will, take that. But also, I have a lot of wooey friends around me, and I consider myself to be woo adjacent. And many of them would tell me that this is the universe telling me enough, Laura. And so
Sit the fuck down,
I
Laura.
listen. Sit down. You're
Yep.
done. Like,
Yep.
relax. Stop.
Yep.
Even when you ask me, like, what do I do? Like, who are you? What do I do? I'm like, what would you like me to tell you? Because there's, a thousand things that I could list. And I know anybody listening has a thousand things that they could list in terms of like what they do. Sometimes it feels like every minute of my day is accounted for with something, right? Whether it's
Yeah.
being a mom or running a business, or I do own a horse, although someone else will have to be taking care of him for the next little while. I got dogs, I've got, a house to run, laundry to do. Like, it's like every minute, and I can't do any of it now. I can work and I can be a mom verbally, but I can't, my 3-year-old, he went to daycare today and he comes in to give me a big hug into the bed. He says, "Mommy, will you be right here when I get back?" It's like,
You're like,
"Yeah,
where am I
dude.
going, kid?
Yeah, dude, I will be right here." It's like, "Well, can we watch a show when I get home?" "Sure, buddy. But like, this is where I'm going to be for the foreseeable future. I can't do laundry. I can't do any of it." So it is really interesting to, and I'm early in it, but it's an interesting thing to be sitting with. And also needing to ask for help is something that, so many people are saying, "What can I do to help?" And I'm just sort of like, "I'll let you know. I don't know right now. I don't know what I need." But I'm really gonna have to ask for it.
Yeah, maybe this is another part of your lesson,
I
learning
think it
how
might be, yeah.
to ask more. Because I mean, we're all so guilty of not knowing how to properly ask for help. My God, I sit here all the time on this podcast and talk about how we need to get more comfortable with it. But do I explode once a week on my husband because I haven't asked him for the support that I'm requiring? And do I resent him for not giving me the support that I've never asked for? Absolutely. Like,
Totally.
we're not good at it, and we do need to be better at it. So maybe you can give us all of your reflective thoughts at the end of your 8 weeks and tell me how I
Yeah.
can ask for help more. So I don't really want to break my leg.
I will, and I'm gonna definitely talk about it on my social media, on my Instagram, and probably my own podcast as well, because I think that, someone said, "Oh, you have to do a podcast episode on this," and I was like, "I will at the end. I will at the end, like when I'm back up and walking again." Because right now, if I were to record a podcast episode, it would just be on how things are not fun, and so I'd love to. I definitely will record an episode for my own podcast on just like everything that came up for me, and it's gonna be a journey. It's interesting though, because I know we're talking about my story and the book today. And one of the things that I wrote about in my chapter was hiring a nanny for the first time and what that all meant as an entrepreneur for me. And I actually am in the process of having to hire a nanny right now because we don't have family close. And the family that is close is electing not to participate in the support, which is a very kind way of me putting that. And so I have to hire one. And so we kind of feels like a little bit of a weird full circle moment to be like, "Oh, and we have to hire help to come in because you can't do it."
Well, and here you are. That is a full circle moment. I actually forgot that you wrote about that, but you did write about that. Well,
Did.
okay, well, let's get into it a little bit.
Sure.
I have been asking everyone, and I really want to know, what has your experience been like as a co-author? And then, like, also, why now? Like, you've been a mom
Yeah.
for several years. Like, why do you feel like now has been a good time for you to kind of share your experience?
Yeah, I think for me, I carried a lot of shame around my experience for a long time. It was like something that I didn't feel comfortable talking about. It wasn't until I started to have conversations with other moms, like really open ones, where I started to really make peace with my own experience and my own story and recognize how my story helps others. And I think what I do right now is a little bit unique in that I do have my own podcast. I do support women entrepreneurs. I do have a social media presence. And when I started sharing, snippets of all of that, just like dabbling in it a little bit, the feedback was really incredible. And not because I want gold stars or anything. It was just like other people saying, thank you so much for sharing what is true for you. And I think there was some healing in that for me. And certainly when I launched my podcast last year, it was March of 2023, I launched my podcast. And that experience, I was really, episode two of my podcast is a really open and honest truth about becoming a mom and what that was for me. And it was not only really cathartic for me to just speak it, the feedback that I got from other women saying thank you mattered. And over in sort of every single time I heard that, it was like the shame kind of just started chipping away, and sort of the shame started to just disappear. And I know that my experience isn't that unique. It is unique in terms of like the roles and the, the modalities and the things that wove through. But, this whole idea of like redefining what motherhood means for you is something that I've become really passionate about. And so when you think about like why now, I think I had to get to a place where I don't carry shame around it anymore. Like it just is. And I can love that version of myself that struggled for so long and struggled so hard by myself. That I know that if it can help one person, then that's worth it for me.
I think that's why we connect, like truly, because I feel like we have the same goals, and I had a very similar experience, and it's still something that I don't necessarily struggle with, but I do find myself being like, I should do this because I don't know, because all the other moms are doing it or whatever. But I have always found that I don't feel like I don't know, fit into this box of whatever I thought motherhood was actually going to be versus what it actually is. If that makes sense, like I had this like thought of like, this is who I'm going to be, and I could not fit that person at all. And I feel like it ebbs and flows all the time because we grow, evolve, and change, but yet we're always trying to fit ourselves in this like, I'm a good mom, I'm a bad mom. Like, I'm just like a pretty decent mom most of the time who's just doing the best that she can, but it's like no one's really comfortable being that mom or something. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I feel like for whatever reason, there's this like singular definition for most people of like what it means to be a good mom. And for me, I got pregnant. To back up, I never thought I was going to have kids. A lot of people are, they grow up, and I had friends like this. They're like, I just can't wait to be a mom. And I was more of the, I don't know. I don't know if that's for me. I was pretty selfish in my 20s, and it just was, right? And then I met my partner, and he really wanted to have kids. That was something that he really valued, and I wanted to have kids with him, and so we had kids. It wasn't something that I had given a whole ton of thought to for most of my life. It was just like, maybe, maybe not. And so when I got pregnant, the narrative that everyone tells you is like overwhelmingly positive, right? It's congratulations. It's going to be so, every now and then I'll be like, oh, just you wait. You'll get one of those. But,
For sure.
nobody's really, at least for me, nobody really sat me down and was like, just so you are going to experience a complete death of yourself and a rebirth. You will be reborn, but like who you are now will be forever changed. And it's okay if you don't love every moment of it, because you won't. And it's okay if it feels really messy and feels really foreign and feels like you don't ease into it. Like nobody said that to me. It was all just like, oh my gosh, congratulations. You're gonna be the best mom. Like that's all it was,
Get
And
the up
then
a baby stroller.
I got the upper baby stroller. I did that,
And
It
you're
was
still
like
not a good mom?
I still struggled even with the upper baby stroller. Like
I thought that was the key to it all.
I thought it was too. No, but it was like I bought all the things. I had the baby shower. I bought the upper baby. I did it, like whoo, nailed it. And then my daughter was born, and that was just not my experience. And so I didn't even think it was okay for me to say, there are parts of this that I hate. And then what is wrong with me for hating it? I couldn't even tell my partner that I hated it because I was just like, What if he knows? If he finds out that, I mean, he obviously knew I was struggling, right? Like we lived together, he witnessed it, but I couldn't verbalize, hey, this sucks and I'm really struggling, because it was like, no, if I say that, I'm a bad mom. And then it just kind of snowballed, right? As my daughter got older, and certainly as a person that works for herself, you know, quote unquote, I'm going to use this word carefully, but I didn't get, in quotations, I know you can't see me, but we're doing some air quotes here, a maternity leave. And not that having a maternity leave would be in any way easier than what I experienced. I think maternity leave can be just as difficult. I did have to split my attention, however. And if you know me or you're interested in listening to my story at all, I talk about how I didn't do a very good job of splitting my attention very a lot of the time. But I did. I had a business to run and I had this baby, and I wasn't able to rest or do the things that typically one would do
You're
on a maternity
supposed to
leave,
do.
are supposed to do. And so for me, it like really came to this breaking point where I was going to lose everything. I was going to lose my marriage. I was going to lose my business. I was going to lose my sanity. And I had to really redefine for myself, like, what does it actually mean to be a good mom? And the nanny actually was one of those first pieces, because we had to hire a nanny when my daughter was 6 months old so I could go back to work in the business. And man, did I ever think that was the worst mom ever for having to do that. And then I would start to enjoy the space. You know, I was still nursing and pumping. I would like pump in the little corner of my gym between classes. And I started to realize that like the space that I was taking away from my daughter and doing something for me actually allowed me to become a better mom, to be more present, to be more there for her, to be sort of the version that I wanted it to be. But it really did come with like just stripping down these external definitions, this singular definition of what devoted motherhood means, which for a lot of us, it just means being a martyr, right? It's like, okay, if you want to be a good mom, you got to give up everything. And the only, your only sole purpose is kids, the end. And if you can't do that, you're the worst.
Yeah, I relate so deeply, and I think a lot of people do. I think there are so many of us that struggle with that whole, like, I really like being a mom, but I also really like being, whatever, an entrepreneur, or I like being a doctor, like whatever it is that you are outside of motherhood. And there is a world where those two things can blend. But again, it's like you have to put yourself in this box. Like, good moms just want to like spend all of their time with their children. And I don't. Like, I really still want to like do my thing over here. So I mustn't be a good mom. So wild. So I hope that, between yourself, myself, and all the other women who are like kind of like saying the same similar message, I really hope like the next generation of moms don't have to completely crumble and be in like a mental health crisis or their marriage falling apart. Like you were saying, like just everything just so like broken that you're like, okay, so in order to pick myself back up piece by piece, I have to kind of put together a new human. Like, it's almost like I hope we can talk about this enough that the next generation of moms can be accepting of like becoming the new human, and you are no longer the same person. Like, all of that is part of the process, but so many people don't want to talk about it. So that's why I'm like, I'm just so appreciative of you, because it needs to be like shouted from the rooftops. It needs to be in the Up a Baby pamphlet.
It should be a, yeah, there should be a book that comes with the upper baby that's like, this is a beautiful stroller. You did not need this one. You could have got one that's half the price, would have been fine. But also, no judgment. I love the upper baby, let's just be clear. But could have bought it used, did not need to spend $1,400 on a stroller. But you know, that's what all the good moms were doing. So that's what I did. But you're right. It doesn't like, you know, it's so interesting. You know, you get sent home from having a baby. And I remember this so well. Like, you get the pamphlets in the bag from the hospital if you had a hospital birth. And it's like all these things about baby, all about baby, not a single thing about mom, you know? And
Nothing.
like, I think there maybe was like one postpartum depression pamphlet, but you're just like, oh, that's not me, you know? And it's like, oh, But the number of women that I talk to that are like, I experienced postpartum anxiety. I experienced postpartum depression. Like, it was not fun for me. I didn't talk to anybody about it. And it's just like, we need to normalize this. Like, what if I think about that version of myself, you know, the 2017 version of myself, holding my baby, sitting on my baby's bedroom nursery floor. She's crying. I'm crying. Like, everything is just a disaster, right? Worst felt like the worst moment ever. And I think if that version of myself knew that that was okay and knew that I wasn't the only woman having that experience and that, you know, that didn't make me a bad mom because I was struggling, that would have brought me so much peace that I didn't get to experience until I had my son in COVID during in 2020, which, you know, was a whole other thing. But being able to do it again, which I did not think I was going to do, you know, at all. And to have a different perspective and to know, A, what I was getting myself into, because first baby is like, you just have no idea. It's like that what just happened moment. You have no idea. And so to do it again and to be able to have more sense of self, more sense of what's true, and also give myself more grace, it was a totally different experience. Right? Because I actually got to enjoy, believe it or not, got to enjoy my baby the second time around rather than constantly like fighting and trying to fit myself into a mold that wasn't ever going to be for me. I got to do it the way that I wanted to do it with my son. And thank goodness for that. I'm, you know, so glad that that version of myself decided to have another child, even though there are days like, oh my God, why do I have
Course.
another child? But, you know, even just to have gone through the process that I went through and really being able to redefine like what it means to be a good mom for that season, to come back to it with my son. And I think like, you know, my kids are 6 and 3 now. And I will say, like, I'm still this, like, what does it mean to be a good mom is still something that I am constantly revisiting and looking at as their needs change and mine do too. You know, I run a business that allows me to work with people all over the world. I get to travel and go to events, but there's still like guilt that comes up with that. There's all sorts of things that start to come up. You know, my daughter will be like, Mommy, why do you have to work so much? Or she'll say, Mom, put your phone down. It's not good for you. Like, I know,
Oh.
bud. Like, I know, but you know, this is my husband's words coming out of her mouth. But it's like there's two sides of it, right? It's like, yes, I want to be fully present with you. But mommy also needs to finish this one thing before I can give you 100% of my attention. And it's sort of balancing some of that, right? And being an entrepreneur is always on thing. Being a mom's an always on thing. And trying to find ways to make it all work is something that I'm going to it's going to continue to evolve for me.
Yeah. Well, and you, I love the way that you talk about those things because there are so many people that make it look like or even sound like it's so seamless. Like, I
That's
think
right.
that's one of the things that I love about you too, is because you're so, like, you're just so honest, right? You're like, okay, do I have a booming business? Yes. Do I love what I do? Absolutely. Is it easy? Absolutely fucking not. And
No.
I think that's what I've always loved about you, because there is so many people that are like, do you want to spend more time with your kids? Do you want to have more freedom? Like, do you
Buy this
have
one
more
course.
right for $9.97 right now?
Yeah.
But like, you don't have any more freedom than anybody else. Do you have more flexibility? Sure, I guess,
Sure.
if your kids are sick or something like that, is there pros? Of course. But is there cons? Also, of course. And are
Yeah.
you still trying to balance just like the rest of us who have a 9 to 5? Of course she is.
Yeah.
So, like, you also have never made it seem like I'm an entrepreneur, hear me roar, and everything is so great because I work for myself. And I've really, really loved watching you and like learning more about you for that reason, because like that's the realness that we need. Like,
Yeah.
nothing is super easy, including being a mom. And I think more of us need to see that. We need to hear that. We need to fully understand that everybody else's lives suck just as much as ours do sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I'll always choose entrepreneurship, I think. I say always. I'll always. But and there are so many beautiful things that it gives me. It does give
Of
me
course.
flexibility and freedom, but it also gives me massive challenge. You know, even
Yep.
just I was saying before we started recording, you know, I broke my leg and the doctor said to me, well, can I write you a note to get you off work? No, you cannot. You
Yeah,
know,
like
like
you
they
said,
cannot.
she is HR. She's HR.
Right. I don't
She's
have anyone to send that
all of
note
it.
to. So thank you. You know, and you know, yeah, does it allow me to take days off and go ride my horse in the middle of the day? And yeah, of course it does. But there's also massive amounts of stress that come with that and massive amounts of fear. And you know, if I get hit by a bus, my and disappear, my business is gone, right? I got a broken leg, still exists, still here, but you know, something more major. I have no income, no way to support my family. And so it is. There's different sides to it. And I think a lot of people talk about like it's never easy. I think that there can be moments where there's ease, but I think regardless of whether you are an entrepreneur, you're a working mom, you're still working 14-hour days. You're still, you know, you're still trying to fit in time for you and the nooks and crannies of things. And I think there's a lot of people, certainly online, that will teach, oh, you know, I work 2 hours a day and I spend the rest of the time with my kids. But what they don't talk about are the years that that wasn't a thing. The years that they worked 8, 10 hours. I'm not in a season of my business where I get to work 2 hours a day and then go play. No, I'm not there. There are some days that I work 10 hours. There are some days I work three. Some days I work zero, right? But the people that are talking about like it being overly easy are people that are forgetting to talk about the years where it wasn't, because there is no such thing as this for anybody, right? You're starting a new job, you're starting a new business, whatever your thought is, like there's no such thing as a free ride, right? Like it all takes work. And if you're a person that is an entrepreneur or wants to be an entrepreneur, you see these sort of messages online, like if something seems too good to be true, I promise you that it is. And there's a reason why people are selling this, because it is highly profitable for them. But read the fine print. I promise you there's no guarantees of results.
No, that's been honestly and truthfully one of my favorite things about you as someone who
Thank
is
you.
like just like stepping into this entrepreneurial space, and seeing a lot of like, this is so easy and my life is going to be so easy. And
Yeah.
then you're like, it's not though. It's not. So like, thank you. Truthfully, it's very refreshing.
Thank you.
So do you want to share? I mean, you've shared so much, but is there something that we're missing that you would like to share what's inside your chapter? What can people expect to hear from you?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you are a person that feels any sense of like discomfort in this definition of what being a good mom is, if you question, am I a good mom? I think I saw something that was like, if you question that you're whether or not you're a good mom, you're a good mom. But if you've ever struggled with, you know, some of those external stories, or you know, compare yourself to other moms, or wonder if you're doing the right things, I just really hope that the chapter is something that gives you some permission to know that A, you're not alone, and B, hopefully some permission and tools so that you can redefine it for yourself. And the way that I define good motherhood is probably different than the way Amanda defines it, and it's probably different than you listening, and that's okay. And I think that's really the gift that I want to give people, is that we're all different humans. We all have different needs, we all have different supports, we all have different desires. And there isn't a single definition of being a good mom. There are things that I require in my life as my human in order for me to show up fully with my kids. And that are things like working out and getting high exercise, which I won't be doing for the next little while given my
You
leg.
can work those arms, girl.
I'm gonna be so buff. So my core is gonna be great. And it's things like working out. It's things like being able to use my creative mind. It is connecting with my friends. It is tapping into the parts of me that are not mom, right? And I think about motherhood as a slice of who I am. It's not the whole cake. And so I need to make sure that I'm using those in different ways, right? That I'm tapping into that. And my slices and your slices might not be the same. And we all have different supports. You know, I mentioned I don't have family locally, and the family that is locally is not available to be supportive. And so some people have lots of support, and that might look different. And really, this is my very long-winded way of saying, like, we can all define good mothering at the end of the day differently, because all of our kids are different too, right? And so I think, you know, as long as you're doing the best that you can with the tools that you have, and you're continuing to be open to finding new tools, for asking for help, for, you know, listening to yourself, your family, and your children, like, you're going to be just fine. And so I hope that the chapter gives you permission to just shape that definition for you and your family without looking to, you know, what Sally next door is doing, or even what I'm doing, or what Amanda's doing. And just really recognizing that, like, your way is perfect.
Yeah, I love that. I could not have said it better myself. And I feel like that very simple way of putting, like, everybody's different is a very simple thing, right? Like, you think, well, duh, yeah, everybody's different. But it's so hard to actually, like, digest that and actually fully understand that as
Yeah.
a mother, even though, like, when I finally was like, oh, like, I'm not the same mom as Laura because I'm Amanda. It sounds so stupid,
It does,
but
yeah.
when you finally figure it out, you're like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. But it, like, takes a lot of us a minute to figure that out. And when you figure it out, it's like, oh my God, I can't be Laura. I'm Amanda.
Yeah, and it's not just even like the people around. Like for me, I owned a gym at the time when I was pregnant with my daughter. And so I had a lot of moms and women around me telling me how it is going to be and should be. And I remember this one mom saying when I was just pregnant, she said, "Have you figured out your sleep and feeding schedule yet?" What
Oh,
are you
God.
talking about? But it's even like online, right? Like you, I was just, I love TikTok. I'm a TikTok user. And I was like, it was something about like, here's how you should, the proper way to, discipline your child, and here's the right way to be a mom, and this is the amount of time that's screen time that's appropriate, and this is like it's overwhelming, right? It's overwhelming to be like, there's so many differing opinions about the same things, and I try to educate myself with as much sort of positive propaganda around parenting as I can, but also recognize that like someone else's way of doing it isn't going to be the same as mine, because somebody that has, and this isn't to knock this person, but someone that has, a full-time nanny or family that's super supportive, I have never, nobody has ever taken my children overnight, ever. Not once. The grandparents that take their kids for the weekend, I don't have those. And so somebody that has all of that support is going to automatically have a different experience than somebody like me who doesn't have support. But what I do have is I have means. I have a successful business. So my kids are, I can hire nannies and I can send my kids to daycare. That's going to be totally different than the mom who doesn't have those means, isn't able to do that. And so our capacity is going to be different based on what we have from a support perspective, but then also who we are energetically, right? I'm an introvert, so I don't have a ton of energy all the time. And so it's like learning really the ebb and flow and just being okay with your circumstances and who you are and doing the best that you can.
I love it. I love it so much. And I think it's the most important message. Hey, maybe we'll put this book in the Up a Baby strollers.
We should.
Up a
We
Baby
should
if you're
just, we should
listening.
just, yeah, up maybe if you're listening, I will send you some copies, or we will just all go to our local stroller store and just slip them inside under
Yeah.
the bassinet.
We're gonna have to. We're gonna have to.
Guerrilla marketing in the Up a Baby
Yes.
strollers. Yeah.
Or attack each pregnant person as they come out. Take this book. You're gonna need it. You're gonna thank me
You're
later.
gonna
That's
need
basically what I did at the Toronto Baby Show.
it.
Oh my God. Okay, like truly, thank you for this conversation and thank you for being a part of this book. Like, this message is my favorite message. Like, all of it is so important. Like, every chapter brings something different to the table than the previous books. And I'm so proud that this is like my final piece to this Honest as a Mother book because this one is it's powerful. And but this message specifically, I just feel like it's just such a generalized encompassing will cover every single person
Yeah.
that reads this book. Maybe not while they're reading it, but I bet you 6 months, like, oh my God, I remember reading that Laura Girls book thinking she was crazy, but here I am. Here I
Yeah. And
am.
it's totally okay if you read it and think I'm crazy. That's fine.
Yeah, that's right.
It's fine too.
I'm you're bringing me back to the Toronto Baby Show because that's how I felt when I would talk to certain moms. I would think some of them would walk away and go, oh my God, that bitch hates her kids. She hates them. Why is she a mother? And I'd be like, call me in 6 months.
Yeah, let's talk. Yeah.
Right, but like this is the point. People
Yeah.
like you and I, okay, you might think, you know, we have no idea what we're talking about and you totally disagree, but like if my message, what I want to get across to you or what you want to get across to them sits with them a year from now, like that's all we needed, right? Like we
Yeah.
just want everyone to know that you're not alone. And if and when you go through this struggle, it's totally okay. And There are people who have been through it and have been to the other side, and like you can get there too.
Yeah, and I think the other piece that like is really important for me to share is like I love the shit out of my kids. Like I'm obsessed with them.
Yes.
I think they're the best. Like they're the best, coolest human beings I've ever met. And I made them, and that's amazing. But and, right? It doesn't have to be an either or. It doesn't like it's an and. It's I love my kids and I'm obsessed with them, and there are aspects of motherhood I really struggle with. It's not like you these things are not These aren't things that like live on their own because you struggle with motherhood or because I had to redefine what motherhood means. Doesn't mean I don't love my kids. Like I think my kids are the coolest, and I would love to just play with them all day and not in the house. I would like to go do things with them. You know, don't get me wrong. I don't want to be like inside playing Lego all day. That's not it for me. But I think that's one piece that's really important for me, and I think it's with a lot of things. But it can be and. It doesn't have to be this either or thing.
And I love it. Laura Sinclair says, and
And
period. I love it. Oh, thank you. Can you please leave everyone with your, where can they follow you, find you, tell me about the podcast, give me all the goods.
yeah, so my podcast is called This Mother Means Business. And so if you are a entrepreneurial mother or you are a working mom or you have desires to become entrepreneurial, that podcast is for you. We don't just talk about entrepreneur stuff all the time, but on the show, I have people that come on and share their lived experience as a mom and entrepreneur, or they come on and they'll share some of their subject matter expertise and help pour into that audience there. So if you're an entrepreneur and a mom, you'll definitely want to check out This Mother Means Business. And the place that I hang out most on the internet is Instagram. I'm at it's Laura Sinclair on Instagram. And so if you've made it this far, we are definitely friends. So please send me a DM and say hello.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And stay tuned for our launch date because it is coming very, very soon. I actually find out next week. So I will let Laura and the rest of you know our
Amazing.
exact date. Well, thank you so much, Laura. And thank you guys for tuning in. And we'll talk to you soon. See ya.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Honest as a Mother podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. I'm really looking forward to hearing from you.